I don't know. It stopped.
Is it filled out?
No. It just stopped. So do you think that the women's circle made it easier for women to participate in the American?
I think so. That it did a lot of good for them. Because, you know, years ago, the women's local was for a long time. I think Rasner organized it, the Sarah Rasner organized it. But I wasn't with them at that time. I wasn't with them. And it did an awful lot for them.
Do you think that it would have been beneficial to have the women's local earlier than it was?
Well, she was Rasner organizer, so she organized it in the really early. When she used to come into Chicago, Clara Leon used to take her out, and we were just a few girls, but she used to take me too for dinner. I remember once there was a bar on Van Buren Street, a tavern. We went in there, we ate, we drank something, I don't know. She took us out with some of the girls there. And it did contribute an awful lot.
Do you think that it was important to...
What is it? Something I hear talking.
I think it's...
Is it working now?
Yeah. Did you stay in the women's local until you retired?
Yeah. Until I got married. Yeah, until I got married before I retired later. I got married June the 18th, I got married. And December the 1st, December the 30th, December the 31st, I retired, or the 30th, I retired. In the same year.
Had you been working at Bob's after Saul had died?
Yeah, I worked. I worked till I was married. I was married in June, as I said, and I didn't quit till December the 30th. I quit working. And so...
How did Saul die? What happened there?
He had cancer. Yeah. He was retired for 2 years. He was retired. He was a nice man, a good man, too. And he was operated on thyroid gland, and then he had something over here. So the doctor said, this is nothing. They said, we'll take care of the thyroid gland. And clean about everything, and he lost his speech. He talked very little, but he talked all right. He talked like a horse in a way. And then after the operation here, this came back malignant, and the hair was good, cleaned out everything. The doctor explained to me it was just like a tree with roots over here, but he cleaned out and he couldn't help it. He had to touch the vocal cords, and that's why he was like a horse. And after that, he was taking cobalt treatments, and he was never a religious man. But at that time, we had a Secretary of State, what was his name? He died on cancer too. He used to watch on television, on the radio, how he was doing. Dulles. And Dulles died for him. And he used to have a lot of trouble with his arm. He used to go for treatments. He would come home from a treatment. He was half dead. And then he said, "Oh God, why do you punish me like that?" And I thought to myself, I didn't want to say anything. He never mentioned that. He had different ideas, and although he never belonged to any organization, and he got religious all of a sudden. Oh God, why did you punish me like that? And he lived a year and a half after he was operated on this year. And he did. That's all.
And then you met, Morris in
there? Then 2 years later, I met Morris at a convention. Didn't I get you to, didn't you have this year? No. 2 years later, I went to a convention. I only missed about two conventions. I used to go to every convention. I used to go. And during a convention before I missed, and it was in 60, because my Sal was in the hospital at that time. So I couldn't go to the convention. And 2 years later, I went to the convention. And Morris was that time, came to the convention. It was just the same year that he was all alone. And he was sick. He came out from the hospital at that time. And I was running back from the convention hall. It was in Atlantic City. And I saw Morris walk with Hildebrand and Markovich. Markovich is retired from the Amalgamated. He was also a business agent. Hildebrand is still in. And they were walked with their wives, with Morris, to the convention hall. And I was running back to the hotel because I was going to pick up a limousine and go to Cleveland. I had my sister from Israel, and she was in Cleveland at that time. And I was going to meet her, and we had a wedding and a bar mitzvah there, and I was running to get the limousine. And here I met Mr. Morris, and I looked at him and I said, "How are you getting along?" And he said, "Oh, not too good, Larry, not so good." And I looked at him and I said, "Well," I said, "I'm in a hurry. I have to run pick up the limousine." I said, "When you get well, Mr. Spitzer, look me up and I'll make a nice dinner for you, a homemade meal. That's all. Don't think of anything." And I ran away. And in the lobby there, we stayed in the same motel in Atlantic City. I used to see him sit all alone on a chair on that sofa. And I used to say to the girls that I knew that liked him and were after him and everything, I said, "My goodness, is this Mr. Spitzer? Does he look like that? What has happened?" And nobody used to go up to him. Nobody used to talk to him. He would sit like this here by himself. And I couldn't imagine what happened to him. I knew his wife had died. I knew that. And then after the convention, I was home and I was working and everything else. And one day I came, it was on a Friday I was off. I used to be off once on a Friday, and the following week on a Saturday I used to be off. And this happened, I was off on Friday, and I was running to the medical department, to the Sidney Hillman Center. And he came in, and he said, and that must have been in August. That must have been sometimes in August. Because in May, I met him in May, and he was sick, and it's at a convention, and that must have been sometimes in August. And I opened the door, and there was, he went out, and Martini went out. He died, Martini. Matilda, did you ever meet Matilda? Agnes's girlfriend. Agnes is an Eloise's girlfriend. So, so they went to eat. They still have the YMCA there, don't they? Do they have a coffee shop in the YMCA now too? Oh, well, they went to eat at the coffee shop in YMCA. And Morris said, "Are you going to be here yet?" And I said, "Yes, I'm going up in the medical department." He said, "Okay, I'll see you. I want to see you." I said, "Okay." After I was through, I went to see him in his office. He wanted to see me. I went into the office, and he was there sitting in the office. That was on the second floor, I think. They remodeled it since that time, upstairs. And I think, yeah, they remodeled it because it was the second floor. It was remodeled. So he said, let's go into Clara Leon's office, because a lot of people were coming in here. And Clara Leon wasn't that time in her office. Clara Leon's office used to be near the elevator on the third floor, just across from his office. And I went in with him, the door was open, and I was sitting on one side, and he was sitting near Clara Leon's table, stretched out like this here. And we talked. I was on the other side, and we talked. And Joyce came upstairs, and she said, hello, Morris. And then she wanted to see, you know, women are very curious. She wanted to see with whom he was talking. And she knew that everybody liked Morris, and Morris was a god over there all the time. And so she went in, and I was sitting in the back of the door. Here was the door, and I was sitting like that. And she put in her head like this here. Oh, she said, and I didn't know very well, Joyce. I knew her a little bit. And she said, oh, hello, Lottie, how are you? And she was just new by us, too, at that time. And we were talking, and I asked him what he was doing all this time, because I hadn't seen him for a long, long time. And he told me that his wife died, and I knew his wife died. And he had a lot of trouble with the daughter. She's in a home. And he was in the hospital during the time. And he had to place his daughter in a home. And he said, it's no good. It's no good to live in hotels. He took one apartment. He thought maybe he'll be able to keep his daughter there. And while he was in the hospital, his children found her place in Liberty Wills. They took her over there. So he gave up this hotel and he went to live in a different hotel, and he had to go out to eat, and it wasn't very good. And I said, why don't you go out? And he said, go out with whom, where, what? And I said, you have so many friends, don't they invite you? Invite sometimes you all alone. Invite a woman, if we have plenty of women in the organization, go out with her. I was just like a father and mother telling him what to do, and he knew more than I, but he listened to me. He listened to me very well. And I said, even to a movie, it's better to be alone than to take out a friend to a movie that you know. And I knew that he had plenty of women that they were running after him like anything. So maybe I should have said that. I shouldn't say that. And he said, well, you know, I'm not the kind to run around, and I'm not the kind to, and my wife just died, and so on. And that's all. And you know, I didn't even ask him to take me home. He lived here, not far away from here. I didn't have the nerve even to ask him to take me home. Then in December, and I forgot already that I had invited him to the convention in May. In December, it was on a Thursday night. I had a turkey in the house. My sister was attending school and art institute. I'll show you, did I show you my sister's paintings? She was taking some courses, or ceramic courses. She made for me a table over there. I'll show you the table that she made for me. One table I made and one table she made. And in that time were a lot of exchange students in Chicago, from Europe, from all over. They came in to art institutes, to universities and so on. So she was a student in art institute. And she asked me one day whether she could bring in some girl. They are lonely from Sweden, from England, from Czechoslovakia. We had a lot of students, exchange students. It was a rule at that time. They had made up that they should have exchange students. We would send our out of the country, and they would send to us. So she brought home a girl. She was from Sweden, a Swedish girl, and this girl had a sister too. They were two sisters, twin sisters. So one, they lived before in New York. One sister met a doctor, and they fell in love, and they got married. And they, although she was an exchange student, but she married, and then she had the right to live in this country. And this one came to Chicago, and she was doing some work to support herself although the government supported her a little bit, but they didn't get much. She was going at night during the day or night, I don't remember. I think at night they were going to Art Institute. And during the day, the other girl worked as a masseuse. Is it the right way?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I can't pronounce words anymore. You know, this is also age is working on me. So this girl came, and I at that time lived on Marine Drive, where I told you. Oh, we passed by, and I didn't even show you the building where we lived. A great big building. It was the biggest building in the city at that time. And 527 apartments. That was the biggest city building in the city. And I had two rooms, a bedroom, a bathroom, and a big living room. So I had a long table by the wall that I used to open it and entertain. We used to eat at that table. And I had company. Otherwise, I had made a little room with a table that we ate in like a little dinette in the hall. I had a big foyer at that time. And Morris came. He brought me a box of candy. And I had made up, I told the, in the garage, we had a garage. And I said to the garage man, I'll take care of that. And let him park the car. If you'll say that he's coming to my house, they should take the car away from him. And he came in, and my sister, I didn't tell you how he called. That Thursday night he had called and said, Lottie, is that offer still good that you invited me in Atlantic City? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm making a turkey. I was just making a turkey. I had a turkey that I had a neighbor that he used to work in a wholesale place that they used to sell meat, Powell they used to sell. And he gave me once a turkey for some holiday, and I didn't use a turkey. So I said, I'm making a turkey. Come tomorrow, and you'll have dinner with my sister. And she has she was supposed to bring two girlfriends, but she only brought one girlfriend. So he said, fine. So he came the next day, and he brought me a box of candy. And he came upstairs, and he met my sister, and only one of them came, one of the girls. And we sat by that long table. And she sat like you and I, my sister with her girlfriend, and I sat near my sister here, across from him. And we talked, and I said, and he said of how lonesome he was, and he's don't know what to do with himself, and they're going to build a retired center. They're going to make a retired center, and. They asked him to take care to be the director in the center. And I said, it's lovely, it's nice. It's nice. I would want to see something else, but I don't want to be recorded. So I said it was nice, it was very nice. He should take it. And I said, when I reach 65, I'm going to help you, I said. I'll come in as a retired member in the center and I'll help you out too. Meantime, he had a nice dinner, and he kept on looking around. I had a Pullman kitchen.
Uh-huh.
I had a Pullman kitchen. And here, the Pullman kitchen is here's a door, and over here I had the fridge there, and my stove, and my sink, and a little counter, and that's all. And when I was working in the kitchen, and I worked here, just like this year, I worked over there. And when I had company, I used to close the door. I didn't want them to see how I'm doing in the kitchen. And when I didn't have company, I closed the doors, and there was just one huge living room. So he used to look at me the way I served very nice. I made a turkey, and I made whatnot. I was so happy with my sister. I did it for my sister's sake. I made a nice dinner and everything else. And he looked around, and he thought, that's what he told me later, all alone woman and brought up two children. That's what he said to me, two lovely children, professionals, and I worked, and I accomplished a lot in my life, and I have a nice little apartment, I paid $120 rent, and he admired me. I was going to school at that time, and he really admired me. So he had a good time after dinner. He went home. In fact, he took home that girl, that Swedish girl. She lived somewhere not far near Wilson Avenue or so. At that time, it was much nicer than it was now, than it is right now. And the next morning, he called me again, right in the morning, around 10, 11 o'clock. He said, "Larry, what are you doing today?" I said, "I'm not doing anything." He said, "We'll play cards. I'll come over and we'll play cards." I said, "Okay." And at the table, when we were at the table eating, when he admired me so much, again I said to him, "You know, Mr. Spitzer, you have to get married because you really need a home. You never had a home atmosphere. You have to get married." And I, honest to God, that I never thought of myself, because I had enough 42 old marriage life, and I had enough already. And I lived the life of Riley. I did things that I never did before. I was running to school, I took a movie picture photographing, and I took English, a teacher that I met last Friday night, and Mrs. Wolf. Well, I didn't do much in her room because she was more for English, conversational English. But I remind her, I introduced her as being my teacher, and she was very proud of it, to some of the friends that I was in it. I said, "She was my teacher." So she just said to me, yeah, "You knew more than I like this year," she said. And I was put, we had a mutual friend, Angelina, we had a mutual friend.
You told me about that.
That we used to go out. Yeah. I told you on the telephone, I think.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you told me that.
And I really didn't want to get married anymore. We went together with tickets we had for Sunday afternoon for recitals in the orchestra hall, and we went to opera together, and we went to school together. I had a nice group of women with me that I really didn't miss anything. I wanted to be single.
Were a lot of these women from the Amalgamated that you
know? No. None of the women. Angela lived in our building. She worked in an insurance company, and I had Molly Trachtenberg lived in our building, from the building people.
Okay.
Yeah. So I really didn't want to get married. But I urged him to get married because he never had a home. He was always traveling. He used to come home on weekends, and he really had a lot on his hands, with a sick daughter and a sick wife. So now I thought that if he would get married, he would find girls that he had around him that wanted him. They were nice girls. So he looked at me and he said, "What's the matter with you?" Like that. And I said, "Well, I was married for a long time, and I really don't feel like to get married." So he said to me, when I told him later, he used to come in to me to play cards. I would make a... But he never took me out, because it wasn't the year yet that his wife died, and he didn't feel that it was right. I asked Jewish people, you have to be in mourning for a year when a wife or a husband dies. So I said to him, "You know what, Morris? Moving across the street, there was a big hotel apartment building, furnished. I said, a very nice building, and I had a lot of friends over there that live in that building. And the park was closed, and he used to like to play cards. And you'll be happy over there, and I'll help you out if I go." No, so he said to me, "Yeah, I'll move in, and you're going to move out." So I said, "No, I will not move out. As long as you're going to live here, I will not move out. I'll invite you for dinner once in a while. If I go shopping, I'll shop for you. And there's a restaurant, there's a delicatessen store, and you'll enjoy over here. You'll go to the park, you'll play cards with men." So he said, "No, I'm going to move in right here. Like that, he used to say. And I said, "No, I'm not going to get married." And his family didn't want him to get married. And he said to his family, "Am I not entitled for a little happiness too?" But they didn't want him to get married. I said, "Your family don't want you to get married, and I don't want to get married." I said, "Just let be friends." And he didn't want it. He cried. He didn't want it. He wanted to be married. He wanted to have a home. So we went around like this year till June the 18th.
But of what year?
In 63. So there was about a year, more than a year, that we went around like this year. I used to invite him once in a while to the house. And then I couldn't get rid of him in the house because he wanted me to marry him. And one day he called his son and told him that he was going to get married. He was supposed to be married before. Called his daughter. His daughter called up the sons. And the sons called up in the middle of the night, they called him. He shouldn't get married. And I said, screw it, don't get married. Go move in over there. I'll help you. Let's be friends. And he didn't want to do it. And we got married. When we got married, he was very, very happy. He was very sick before. He used to take a lot of medicine. I'll tell you what happened to the medicine.
You told me.
Of pills. He never could go to sleep without a pill. So the day that we were married, I had moved him over to my house, and I had